The Old Testament reading for the second to last Sunday of the church year is from Daniel chapter 7. As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him. 1,000 thousands served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. I looked then because of the sound of the great words that the horn was speaking, and as I looked, the beast was killed, and its body destroyed and given over to be burned with fire. As for the rest of the beast, their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, one that shall not be destroyed. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Peter chapter 3. Know this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation." For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you?' Then he will answer them, saying, 'Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous and to eternal life." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." You may be seated. When you look at the final judgment, what does it look like? Well, listen again to Jesus. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats." So here, right from the get-go, we see the final judgment is no private affair. In fact, all nations are gathered, no one is left out, and all are before the throne of God. And what happens is made clear. Jesus doesn't mince any words. All is made public. The sheep are revealed to all as sheep, and the goats revealed to all as goats. Jesus said, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me.'" And so the judge proclaims for all to see that those on his right, the sheep, lived as his people. Note here how this isn't the basis for their judgment. This kingdom has been prepared for them for the foundation of the world. They are righteous on account of faith, as the scriptures teach throughout. So one is saved by grace alone, through faith in Christ alone? Absolutely. So God rewards Christians for their good works? Yes, he does. Both of those statements are true because the Bible teaches both of those things. Last year, I was looking at my sermon that I preached on this text, and we went through those things, and my sermon was really long. I noticed that, so it made me think about that this morning. But we looked at all that last year, and we can even see this text as a way of looking at how Scripture interprets Scripture when you break those things down. But that's one of the great things about preaching on these texts or hearing these texts every year. There's a treasure trove that we come across year upon year. And so Jesus commends the sheep then. Jesus tells you in John's gospel what it means to be his sheep. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." So sheep follow their shepherd. They follow where he leads. And his word teaches you as you hear it as his sheep. So they lived as sheep, doing what they had been given to do. And God delights in this. He commends them for it. And God delights in your good works. He takes pleasure in the things that you do in faith toward your neighbor. These specific examples here he gives of giving a hungry person food, drink to the thirsty, visiting the sick and in prison, clothing the naked, are just a few of those things. So the surprise for them is not that they were doing these good things, but rather they were doing them to Jesus. Because Christians do good works. They love, as Christ loves them. It's what Christians do. Taking care of God's servants, taking care of his people is what Christians do as they are taught according to God's word. Specifically, where they have been instructed by God in the various vocations they live. And this is one of those things that is different between sheep and the sheep and the goats, the righteous and the cursed. Sheep have a different relationship to God's law. For the sheep, they see their sin, they see the accusations of God's law to be sure, but clinging in faith to Christ, they have salvation. From that saving faith flows a new life, and now in their new man, they see God teaching them and lighting the way of what is their new life, worked by the Holy Spirit, flowing from the forgiveness of Christ. And so their righteousness is the righteousness of faith. And each little thing they do according to what God teaches them pleases God, and it's glorious in his sight. It's not for their salvation, because that is only received through faith in Christ alone, but it's still pleasing and good nonetheless, and something we shouldn't degenerate or not be afraid to talk about. God will say to sheep what he says to them in this reading, "Come, you are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." So in this way, when we see this, then we see that God does, in a sense, judge by our works, but the righteousness of Christ has covered your sin, and you have nothing but good works on account of Christ, and you don't stand condemned. So in this context today, then, who is Jesus talking about? Who is he speaking about in this gospel reading of who they served? Well, in Galatians 6, we hear, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So the righteous and you in this life are in the church. And this is the place first, as God's people, that you listen to his word and you take care of one another. A biblical term that God uses for Christians is brother. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a churchly term, especially in Matthew's gospel. Now, he uses it mainly of apostles and pastors, but then it's also used of other believers. Another example of this is when people listen to God's servants, his pastors. When they hear them, they hear Jesus. So taking care of pastors was an important thing, along with taking care of other Christians within the body of Christ. So the church is not separated from Jesus, nor is it separated from God's people. Sheep hear the voice of their shepherd. They gather as God's flock, the church, and from the church then this extends out into the world, kind of spirals out. You serve your neighbor inside the church, and you serve your neighbor outside, and all is done in Christ. So as you look where you are, then, take delight where God has placed you in this world, and don't spurn those callings. First and foremost, you are a hearer of the word of God, for without God's word, you do not have Christ and his benefits. Then look at where you are in your families. Listen to the instruction of God about what it means to be a husband, a father, a wife, a mother, a brother, a sister, a grandparent, a cousin, or a sibling, or whatever station you have in this estate, in your home. And then look at your neighbor around you, outside of your family. See where God has placed you to serve him, and confess the faith as salt and light in the world. And do these things intentionally as one who knows Christ and knows what has been won for you, and take delight in them, and delight in serving your neighbor and in serving Christ. So what then about the goats? Well, listen to what Jesus says. He says, "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?' Then he will answer them, saying, 'Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." And so you see this stark warning to the goats, when you see the goats, those on the left. So you're asking yourself then a further question: what's going on, the difference then between the sheep and the goats here? What's Jesus warning you about? But you know, Jesus tells you, just as his coming and judgment is not hidden, it's not hidden why they are divided and why the sheep enter eternal joy and the goats into eternal condemnation. Just as we talked about a minute ago, the sheep are righteous on account of Christ and they served their Lord as a fruit of that faith. The goats did not. The sheep are commended for their good works. The goats are condemned for their failure. That's the plain sense of the text. It's what God says. So where does this leave all of you? Well, as you take all of this in on this Sunday of the church year, you don't have to guess. The thing about God's judgment is it isn't some hidden thing to you. You know God's judgment now. There are three judgments when you look at the scriptures, but they're all the same judgment. These judgments are at the cross, the preaching of God's word, and the final judgment. So every year when you hear these readings about the end times and you sing the hymns which talk about the judgment seat of Christ that we just sang a few minutes ago, you're not left scratching your head confused. And neither are you forced to rework the Christian faith because God has somehow changed. God's judgment, while being known, is also unchanging. So watch your life and examine what you are fearing, loving, and trusting. Look at God's law. See where it exposes you. Repent. Because you see, there are scoffers, and scoffers stand judged as goats who stand under God's condemnation. The day of judgment for those who reject and mock Christ and his word will be a terrifying day. So listen very closely, and do not hesitate to heed what your Lord teaches you. The way of the scoffer is the way of death. It's the way of eternal death. Do not follow in this foolish way. That epistle reading from 2 Peter teaches this, as you heard a few minutes ago. Scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlook this fact that the heavens existed long ago, and the heavens were formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now existed are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. So learn from this to lean not on your own understanding. Don't lean in and trust in sinful speculations. They will fail you every single time, and especially in the end. So yes, your Lord does warn you. Don't let the devil, the fallen world, and your own fallen flesh get you to fear something or someone in this world. Don't listen to scoffers. Don't become a scoffer who thinks you're speaking wisdom while rejecting the wisdom from on high, the scriptures. God's commands are eternal. They're clear. They don't change. The Lord's mandates are far greater and more important than any mandate man may try to make or enforce, or anything man may try to concoct in his own sinful heart. So look at the commandments of God. Live your life fearing, loving, and trusting in God above all things. And fixing your eyes on Christ, trusting in Christ will not put you to shame. Don't follow the goats. Don't follow the good shepherd. So go back to who you are by the grace of God. You see, Jesus doesn't hold the sin of the sheep against them. He only recognizes their works. The goats, the curse, their sin is held against them. Because outside of Christ, we do stand condemned in our sin. In Romans 4, God says, David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. So you see, the sheep are covered in something. It's the righteousness of their shepherd. They are called as such in the text as well. They are the righteous. Their lives are lived by faith, and their works come as a fruit of the vine to whom they are attached as his branches. So see your good shepherd, for he has mercy on you. He forgives you, and you have eternal life. Trust the promises of Christ that God has made to you in your baptism, and which he gives you today, and the absolution spoken by your pastor, and his word read and preached to you in his Holy Supper. Take heart and wait together with your fellow saints as God teaches you through the pen of St. Peter. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. So, dear Christians, be comforted thinking about the end times. There's great comfort as a Christian to look towards this day and even rejoice in it, because the comfort is found in God's judgment of Christ for your sake. So when you see this image of the final judgment, you know what God will say to you. The reason is because of what happened when God reconciled the world to himself in Christ. Christ crucified is your judgment, as the Lord has atoned for your sin and declares you righteous because of Jesus. That judgment is known to you now as you hear all of this morning, as you hear his word, and as the Lord has worked faith to believe it. Your fear, your trepidation, your doubt are all cast aside by gazing at Christ crucified for you. And like the Israelites bitten by fiery serpents in the wilderness, when they looked around them, they saw suffering and death. But looking to the serpent on the pole, they lived. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And in all of this, too, it points you to that final day, to know that you are the redeemed sheep of God. So yes, rejoice today, hearing these things and knowing the wonders of salvation worked for you in Christ. God's judgment is known. His wrath burns against sin, and his only justice is satisfied in the death of Christ, whose perfect life lived according to God's law, and whose shed blood atones for the sin of the world. Beholding Christ in faith is to stand before that glorious judgment seat of God, blameless as his holy people, and inheritors of eternal life. So what a joyous future, then, to know what belongs to you, dear people of God. Your eyes are to the Lord, and you serve him with a glad and willing spirit as his holy people. You serve and love and seek to love your neighbors, all the in the name of Christ who became least so that you would be great. The kingdom of God is not of this world. What is it? Well, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, one that shall not be destroyed. That's the kingdom of Christ the prophet Daniel spoke of, which is his for all eternity. And you see, that's the kingdom which is yours now, and what you have as the Son of Man has been crucified and he's risen for you. So hear him, look to him, and look forward to that final day when you stand before his glorious throne and he looks at you with the eyes of the Good Shepherd and says, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.